everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and it is the last week of February. Heck, there's, as I'm recording this, there's, what, 8 hours left today? There's 32 hours left in the month of February. Because it is almost my favorite time of year, the beginning of March Madness, which, as far as I'm concerned, March Madness technically starts when the conference tournaments do, which is, like, in a week. Right? Yeah, like, the mid-major tournaments start next week. And then we go from there. And then the major, all the other tournaments start on, like, the 13th or the 14th, and Selection Sunday's on the 17th. Good God. Like, this is... Like, this is one of the last chill weeks. Like, this week and next week are basically the last two kind of chill weeks before it's just a sprint through the rest of March. Because not only is, like, March Madness happening, like, there's also two separate majors back-to-back weeks. So, yeah, like I said last week, like, this is... We are fully in sprint mode. But this week we are going to kick things off with some CDL action, because it's a thing. Like, it is a thing that is happening. And right now the qualifier mostly makes sense. Because you know, the teams you expect at the top are at the top. The teams you expect at the bottom are at the bottom. Like Rocker, LAG, Surge, like all these teams near the bottom of the standings. And New York, Toronto, Optic. For some reason, Vegas is in fourth place. I mean, they're 2-1. It's only been what, like 2 weeks of two weekends of this qualifier. It hasn't even been that. It's been 1 weekend of... No, it's been two. It's been 2 weekends of this qualifier, but not everybody has gotten to play as many games, because the CDL schedule is weird like that. But yeah, it seems like NYSL are getting back on their championship form. I still think Toronto are better than everyone else. Just... because of, like, watching them play. Toronto is still better. Like, they had that weird bump in the road with Rocker, where Rocker just, like, are getting all of the worst luck. Like, they're 0-3. Every single series has gone the distance. Every single series has gone to 5. I believe they did get... No, they did not get reverse red by Breach. They, Breach actually took map 1. I know they almost reverse swept Toronto, and then I think they did get reverse swept by Optic, if I recall. Yeah, they did get reverse swept by Optic. And even then, like, the control was 3-2, and the sub-base hardpoint, the map 4, was only a 5-point game. So, like, yeah, they did get reverse swept, but... it wasn't like a Rocker Resurrection situation where they were getting shit on, and then it was close, and then it was not close. Like, it was, actually, no, that's kind of exactly what happened. Rocker Resurrection was spread out over a longer series, because it was a 9-game reverse sweep, which is still almost 3 years later, absolutely blows my freaking mind. Also, it hurts to say out loud that Rocker Resurrection was 3 years ago. But it was. Rocker Resurrection was 3 years ago. My God, that hurts. But yeah, we've... Miami's shaping up to be very similar to Boston, but... I feel like other teams may put up more of a fight against Toronto this time. Because go back and look at the bracket for Boston. Toronto just steamrolled. Toronto absolutely steamrolled every single team at Boston. They didn't lose a map until winners finals. And they only lost two maps all weekend. They dropped one map each against FaZe in winners finals and grand finals, and that was it. They didn't lose a single map until Sunday. I mean, granted, they didn't play on Friday, and they only played one game on Saturday, because, you know, they won against Rocker, which, you know, if you win in the winners round games on Saturday, you're just done for the day. You're guaranteed to play on Sunday. But yeah, like, it was, I think Toronto will have to put up more of a fight against some of these other top teams at Miami. But until proven otherwise, they're still the best team. And, like, the results have more or less shown that. Other than that weird fluke with Rocker, where they almost got reverse swept, but then, like, they almost got reverse swept, but just proof of their ironclad mental is the fact that they then proceeded to 6-0 them on search. Like, they 6-0'd them on map 5. Now, map 5 was Invasion, and Invasion is shit. But still, a 6-0 is a 6-0, no matter what map it's on. Even if it's on a map where you're clearly better than the other team at that particular map, and they just didn't ban it because they were worse at a different map. And also, in reality, probably didn't expect to go to a game 5 with you. Because let's be honest, did Rocker really think they were going to go to Game 5 with Ultra? Probably not. I don't think anyone did. I expected Ultra to sweep that series. Glad I did not put money on that assumption, because I would have lost. But yeah, that's as far as this weekend goes. What do we got? What's on the slate for this week? Starts on March 1st. Rocker versus FaZe. Seattle versus Ultra, good lord, those are both going to be blowouts. Unless Rocker just, like, pulls a miracle out of their ass, those are both going to be blowouts. Reach versus Vegas, that might actually be interesting, because Vegas has been playing pretty well. Optic versus Carolina. Optic should probably win, but I am apparently terrible at picking games when Optic and Carolina are involved. And when they play each other, it just amplifies my complete and utter inability to pick their games, apparently. So I have, like, I truly have no idea what will happen in this game, because if I make a prediction, it will be wrong. So I'm just going to say I have no idea what's going to happen, and I'm going to ride with that. Because every time I have bet on or against Optic or Carolina, they have lost heart. Every time I have bet on or against either of those teams, that bet has horribly backfired. So I'm not even going to make predictions anymore, let alone put money on it. Seattle and LAG, that's not even the battle of mid. That's just the battle of the toilet. This is the battle of the basement. That's two of the worst teams in the league in the primetime slot on Saturday night. Actually, that's why it's at 6 o'clock on Saturday, because no one cares about it. You can't follow the same logic you use for traditional sports with esports. If you put a game on at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, not many people are going to be watching that. And then the Sunday games, Heretics NYSL. I expect NYSL to win, but you never. Excuse me. You never know with Heretics. FaZe and Ultra, I think Ultra are going to win. Rocker Thieves, that's again two not great teams, because let's be honest, Thieves aren't all that good this year. And that's the last game of the weekend. As far as my actual picks, what did I have I had Rocker plus 1.5 versus FaZe. Why did I take that? Forget that one. That's not happening. That'd be Rocker plus 2.5, maybe, but Rocker plus 1.5 versus FaZe, absolutely not. That is not happening. Breach minus 1.5 versus Legion, I could see that. Heretics plus 1.5 versus NRISL, maybe. Actually, no, I don't like that one either. Now that I'm thinking about these, no, those are both absolutely terrible. I was enticed by the odds. But yeah, I'm gonna narrow it down to just 3 picks, and I am much more confident in these. Breach minus 1.5 versus Legion, Ultra minus 1.5 versus FaZe, and Thieves plus 1.5 against Rocker. Because I think Thieves can win that one outright. I'm just gonna play that one safe. Yeah, and let's see. Let's just double check what the parlay odds would be if it was just these 3 series, and it should let me do it too. Let's take out. What did I take out? Heretics plus 1.5 against NYSL. Parlay odds with those 3 is plus 915. So it's a 3-leg parlay at plus 915 is not terrible. As far as individual odds go, Thief spread is minus 150, Toronto spread is plus 130, and Boston spread is plus 165. So that there's your individual bets if you want to take those. Obviously these are all from DraftKings, because DraftKings is the only one where I can get, is the only sports betting app I have where I can get Call of Duty League action. So yeah, those are the individual odds and the parlay odds. But do with those what you will. My parlays tend to not go well. So if I were you, I would say maybe put a smaller amount on the parlay. And then if you like those individual legs like I do, put a little bit more money on the individual legs, because I think you will get better value out of them, just because my CDL parlays tend to not win. I think only one of them ever has hit. Yeah, I'm just double checking here. Yeah, most of my CDL parlays have not won. I've had one win. I've had one win in my actually, I might have had. No, I've had one. Because that's going back too far. So yeah, I have had one CDL parlay. So that's slightly annoying, but such is life. When you get enticed by the odds, you tend to have really shit parlays that end up losing. But I do actually really like these 3. They give good value as individual bets and as a parlay. So do with that what you will. Again, it's Breach minus 1.5 against Legion, Ultra minus 1.5 against FaZe, and Thieves plus 1.5 against Rock. So do with those bets what you will. Take them as straights, take them as parlays. Or just completely fade me and pick all of the opposite bets and parlay them and see how it goes. So do with that information what you will. But the bigger news is that Activision is now working on a better revenue sharing deal with its member teams of the CDL, which, thank God, because this revenue split is absolute shit. Like, the current revenue split is absolute dog shit. Like, it's so terrible. Like, you have to, like, if you host an event, you have to split it with the league. The league automatically takes a 50% cut of any money you make off the event. And then you have to split the other 50% 12 ways. So how do you make any kind of money off of that. If Activision is taking a massive cut of the revenue of each event, and then you're splitting the half you get as an org 12 ways, like, you don't even get a bigger cut. You split it evenly among the entire league. That is an absolutely batshit crazy revenue split. And apparently, like, they don't get very good splits off the in-game items, which is probably why they suck so much. Because the teams aren't motivated to fight for better in-game customization because they don't make that much money off of it. So why put in the effort to make a good one if Activision's just going to take most of the money you make off of it anyway? So maybe that means we get another year of the CDL, which I'm not a fan of. I think the CDL absolutely needs to fold after this year. This is year 5, and it's still not working. And Overwatch, who had a league that had more initial success and mostly just got fucked over by a combination of a bad meta and COVID. Like, a bad meta that the developers could not for the life of them fix. Which, oh god. Oh god, I'm having flashbacks. No, don't think about goats. Don't think about goats. It was awful. I'm having flashbacks to watching Overwatch League GOATS era matches, and it's just painful. But, like, Overwatch League had more initial success, and the homestands were insane. And then COVID happened, and they stopped doing homestands. And now it's Overwatch Championship Series, which I think is a better format. But, hey, what can you do? I think the Call of Duty World League just needs to come back. It was a better format. Go back to the CWL. Like, open bracket teams making a freaking run at a massive tournament is way more satisfying than, like, 12 teams just duking it out over and over and over again, and only, like, the same 5 teams actually being any good in a given season. Like, introduce a little chaos. Chaos is what makes esports fun. Introduce a little chaos into the mix. But that is a much larger discussion that could take an entire episode and would require, like, getting my friends, getting some guests, like, getting a lot of other people to talk about this, because I wouldn't just want my opinion on that. So, yeah, we'll leave that larger discussion for another day, but I'm glad they are making an effort to negotiate a better revenue split, because the one that currently exists is absolute dog shit and should have never been implemented in the first place. Like, at all. Splitting the revenue of an event you hosted, splitting half the revenue, because the other half goes straight to Activision, splitting half the revenue evenly with 12 other teams, with 11 other teams who did nowhere near the amount of work you did. Yeah, I hope HCS doesn't have a revenue split like that. I don't think they do, because I'm pretty sure the HCS bundles, like, if it's not all of it, it's like 90% of the profits from HCS bundles go directly to the org whose bundle you're buying. So I'm sure HCS does not have a revenue sharing agreement. That shit. But yeah, it's a chaotic time for the CDL right now, but we're still chugging along. We got a major in 3 weeks. And it's going to be in Miami, which is going to be insane. I expect a lot of Spanish trash talk, which would be amazing. But yeah, that's what I got for the CDL. Up next, we got some college basketball to talk about, and I I have opinions. It's coming up next here on the Mashup.
Hey, do you really like the Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you? I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool Store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you. And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the Mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more.
All right, let's talk about some college basketball, shall we? Like I said at the top of the show, best time of the year. It's when everything's getting all crazy. Teams are, those teams that are right on the edge of making the tournament are scraping for every inch they can add to their resume to say, hey, we're good enough to play in this thing. And the main thing I want to talk about is a team who is essentially in the books of most people, myself included, has cemented their spot. It's the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Now, over this past weekend, they got a massive last-second win over the Duke Blue Devils. And as you tend to do when you beat a major rival like that who is ranked significantly higher than you, the fans storm the court. Now, I would describe myself as semi-pro court storm, because court and field for football too. Like, it has to be a game that actually means something. Like, if you're like bottom of the barrel, if you're too like bottom of the barrel Big South teams, but your big time rivals, and you win, don't storm the court. It's not worth it. Like Mississippi Valley State, that's one thing. They were 0-27. They and their commentators going absolutely apeshit made it better. Like that was a good time. I enjoyed that one. Like, yeah, you only beat Prairie View A&M, but you were 0-27. So, and like, it's senior night, you've earned that one. But, and same thing with Wake. Wake earned that court storm. But, because their security team was not at all prepared for this to happen, to ensure the safety of the fans, the players, and the coaches, Kyle Filipowski did get injured. And if you watch the video, I think it's partially his fault. Like, if he didn't stick his leg out to trip the guy, his leg wouldn't have been hurting. And miraculously, he's able to play tonight against Louisville. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a miracle. Oh God, that feels like slightly blasphemous sarcasm, but it also drives the point home. Like, it's a miracle. The face he was making as like four people helped him off the court, when he is able to play tonight, Wednesday night, which is what? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 4 days later, when he was acting like he tore his ACL. And the picture, the memes that spawned, oh my God. I feel like college basketball fans are going to get as much use out of that picture as they do the crying five-year-old kid from the ACC tournament in 2004. which I want to know what happened to that kid. Because assuming he was 5, that means he was born in 1999. He's going to turn 25 this year. I want to know what happened to that kid. Like, he's finished college. I want to know what happened to him. And if he is still embarrassed of that shot of him on ESPN crying his eyes out while his dad makes this just completely like, oh, fuck me face. I want to know what happened to this kid. But the comparison images of that picture side by side with Filipowski on Saturday are glorious. Oh my god, they're so good. They're so good. Oh my god. But the fact that he's playing in the Louisville game means it was all just a show. It was all just a Dookie show. Like, D-O-O-K-I-E show. And, like, of course, Jay Billis, the ultimate hater of fun, is like, oh, we should arrest everyone who stormed the court. Jay, you only said that because a Duke player got hurt. I do not care what anyone says. You only say that because a Duke player got hurt. He didn't even miss a single game. And realistically, as bad as Louisville is for a home game, they don't need him. It's a home game against an 8-19 team who is second to last in the ACC. If 8-19 is good for second to last in the ACC, How bad is the true bottom of that conference? Oh no, they are the bottom. Oh yeah, it's 15 teams. Oh yeah, because it's 14 for football plus Notre Dame for everything else. So yeah, they are dead last. So the team that's dead last in the ACC, you're a 20.5 point favorite at home, and Filipowski's still playing. That should tell you everything you need to know about the fact that everyone is making a big deal out of nothing because it was a Duke player. Not a single person from UConn got injured when Creighton stormed the floor. I mean, it was a different situation. Creighton was up a whole lot more. Wake was only up 1, so the game was still kind of in doubt. But security should have still been prepared. And, like, Creighton was. And every single UConn player and all of Dan Hurley and all of his coaching staff were able to get off the floor without incident. And it was like the same exact amount of people on the floor. I think Creighton's arena might actually be bigger. So I think it was more people on the floor. And no one got hurt. And really, if Filipowski didn't pull a Grayson Allen and stick his foot out to trip the kid who was running on the floor, he wouldn't have tweaked his ankle. Now look, I have tweaked my ankle before, and it's incredibly painful in the moment. When you, like, tweak your ankle and don't do any significant damage to it, like, you're fine even a couple hours later. But in the moment, that hurts like a bitch. So I get it, but Jay Billis saying, oh yeah, you need to arrest everyone. Oh, you should forfeit the game. Especially if it's a game like Creighton. Like, Creighton won against UConn, the number one team in the country and reigning national champions, by how many points? By 19. They won 85-66. It's like, oh yeah, if you storm the court, you just automatically you now suddenly turn this 19-point win against the number one team in the country and reigning national champions into a loss because your fans wanted to celebrate. So, yeah, I am I am very much on the side of, why are we making a big deal out of this? It was one fuck up by Wake security, not anything of the action of fans running on the court after a big win. Like, Liberty fans ran on the field after the Conference USA Championship game. No one got hurt. Liberty fans ran on the court at the 2020 ASUN Championship for basketball. No one got hurt. And they didn't necessarily expect a court storming to happen, but still happened. It was awesome, because that was the first week of March in 2020, so it was one of the last real games we got without knowing it in that entire year. That game was fucking awesome, but that's beside the point. So let's just enjoy the misery of the Dukies, shall we? Let's not make teams forfeit a game over the actions of their fans, most of whom are college students. Like, yeah, college students are adults, but they're still dumb. Like, college students are still legally adults. I was still insanely dumb in college. I still did dumb shit. Hell, I still do dumb shit. Like, so, yeah, why are we making a big deal out of this? Filipowski wasn't even hurt that bad. Like, I still remember the game a few years ago when NC State beat Duke. And the dude in the wheelchair wheeled himself out onto the court, fell out of his wheelchair, and he was fine. I mean, people around him immediately realized, oh crap, this guy just fell out of his wheelchair and helped him. And one of the players picked him up. So, like, he was good. He was probably nervous in the moment, but I remember him getting interviewed on ESPN. He was like, yeah, that was awesome. He was like, I was scared initially, but one of the guys who just helped us beat Duke put me up on his shoulders because he was strong enough to lift the guy up. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with running on the court as long as you're responsible. And most of the Wake fans were being pretty responsible. It was the security who screwed up and not, like, making a wall so the Duke players could get off the floor and get that, and all their, and John Shire and his coaching staff could get the heck out of there. But all that aside, we have a loaded next couple days. Like, there are a couple decent games tonight, like Auburn at Tennessee. That'll be pretty fun. Actually, that's the one big one. Auburn and Tennessee, that's two ranked teams, number 4 and number 11. Seton Hall, Creighton. Seton Hall's been wildly inconsistent this year, but they're mostly pretty good. It'll just be hard for them to beat Creighton on their home floor unless... Well, no, because Creighton had that game against St. John's that they lost. Oh, no. they lost to St. John's. That was their hangover game. So now they're more than likely going to come back and kick the shit out of Seton Hall. So, yeah, there's that. nothing crazy on Thursday. Nothing crazy on Friday. Saturday, though. Good Lord, Saturday. Florida and South Carolina. That should be pretty fun. Kansas at Baylor, that should be insane. Because they're the two best teams in the Big 12 this year. With Houston. Actually, Houston's right there. Houston's the number one team in the country right now. Let's check the Big 12 standings. Are they? Is Houston? Yeah, Houston's in first place. So two of the three best teams in the Big 12 are playing on Saturday night. Or Saturday afternoon, and Houston's playing at Oklahoma, and Big 12 has just been a freaking gauntlet this year, so who knows what could happen in that game. Gonzaga is back in the top 25. They're playing at St. Mary's in the night game. That is at 10 o'clock, because, you know, the game's in Seattle. Oh no, it's in California. That's right, St. Mary's is in California. I always thought St. Mary's was in Washington State. It is not. It is in California. But yeah, the two big ones are obviously Kansas and Baylor and Marquette and Creighton. Because Marquette is still ranked higher than Creighton, but Marquette got their shit rocked by UConn. They've since done a whole lot of dominating in the two games that followed, but they were also against two teams that aren't that one team that's not so great ever, and one team that's not so great this year. And they do have Providence tonight, which I'm assuming they're going to win. If they lose that game, you can all laugh at me, but I expect them to beat Providence. They're better. Like Providence is really rallying around the whole fuck Ed Cooley thing this year, but Marquette's better than them. Oh, they got a rough one to end the season. They at Creighton, home against UConn, and then at Xavier. They should win. They should win that last one. But that senior day game against UConn, that or senior night, because it's in the middle of the week at 8:30. That senior night game against UConn is that's gonna be interesting. That's going to be interesting. It sucks that your senior night is against a good team. You always want your senior night to be against someone you should probably be able to beat. But also, if you beat the reigning national champions on senior night, like it's worth. And Tennessee Bama at 8, that should be a good game too. Honestly, like there's a lot of good games on Saturday. And Seton Hall, UConn on Sunday afternoon should be fun too. There's a lot of good games in the next couple days. But I'll probably throw out some gambling picks on Twitter. There I can't see the lines yet because it is Wednesday afternoon, and a lot of those teams have games in a couple hours or in the next 2 days between now and Saturday. So can't really throw my gambling picks out there because kind of hard to make picks when you don't see the lines. But I'll throw some of my picks for the college games this weekend out there on Twitter as well. But that's what I got for college basketball. And let's just wrap this thing up in a nice little bow. Shorter episode this week because there's not a whole lot to talk about outside of Call of Duty and college basketball, at least for me, at least like in my wheelhouse. Like I haven't fully watched the NBA for like 2 years, so I could try to talk the NBA, but I would just be spending my time. But yeah, Tuesday was Pokemon Day, and we got some basic announcements, like a crossover with Pokemon Go and Pokemon Horizons, the new anime, the first mainline anime without Ash ever. I'm still convinced that girl is his daughter. You can't tell me otherwise. I don't know if that has been disproven in the show. I haven't watched it. The Pokemon anime is a little bit behind me. But until proven otherwise, that girl in Horizons is 100% Ash and Serena's daughter. I do not care what anyone says. But yeah, got a crossover with that. Got some new stuff coming to Pokemon Sleep, which I'm excited about, but I'm not really gonna talk about it on here. Like it's a sleep tracker. It's just a sleep tracking app with a Pokemon skin. Like it's not an actual game. They've gamified it, but I do not consider it an actual game. It is a sleep tracker. Like I use it, I enjoy it, but it's a sleep tracking app. Like Pokemon Go is an actual game. Like it kind of has like step counter features, but it's an AR game. Pokemon Sleep is just a sleep tracker with like a Pokemon video. But yeah, the big thing that got announced is coming next year, to the Nintendo Switch a new Pokemon Legends game. Pokemon Legends ZA. Which, obviously, if you know your deep Pokemon lore, and like they teed it up in the trailer, it's going to be set in Kalos. I don't know when necessarily in the timeline, because some of it looked kind of Tron-ish. But then it also looked like an old map, and it's like the design of when they built Lumio City, which one of my favorite areas that has ever been in a Pokemon game, despite the fact that it's just Paris. Like, it's literally just Paris. Like, they didn't even try. Like, at least with Galar, they took England and they flipped it upside down. Like, Kalos is just France. And, like, if you lay the map of Kalos over the top of a map of France, Lumio City is directly on top of Paris. Like, they didn't even try to hide the inspiration. And, like, Professor Sycamore is the most French character that has ever been in a video game ever. But yeah, I'm excited to see all the weird ancestors of Team Flare that are surprisingly not villains. Because all the ancestors of Team Galactic weren't villains in Legends Arceus. Heck, I think it was Gen Force Professor was Rowan. Professor Rowan's ancestor was a frickin' samurai mob boss and the original leader of Team Galactic, which is weird to think about. But yeah, I'm very excited. I loved Legends Arceus. It was a much needed shot in the arm for the franchise. And, like, I love its different take on battling. I love its different take on capturing Pokemon. I freaking love alphas. Alphas are cool. Like, in Arceus, I have a giant Rapidash. I have a Rapidash that is taller than most of the buildings in the game. That is awesome. Like, imagine that in modern Pokemon. You just, like, all right, go Rapidash. And everyone expects a normal-sized horse. And you have this freaking monster of a burning unicorn. That's cool. I hope they bring alphas back, because alphas are so cool in both concept and design. And Mega Evolution is coming back. So can you imagine catching an alpha Pokemon and then Mega Evolving it? Good lord. That would be so much better than Gigantamaxing. Like, that would be that's just a better version of Gigantamaxing, is Mega Evolving an alpha Pokemon, because it's taller than most of the buildings in the game, and then you Mega Evolve it. Like, give me new Megas, too. Like, give me the classic Megas from, like, X and Y and Oris and the ones that were in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Like, give me all of them, but also give me new ones. Give me new ones and, like, give me throwback ones. Like, I know this is asking a lot of Game Freak, but they put a lot of effort into Legends Arceus, so hopefully they're putting a similar amount of effort into Legends ZA. And a story focused on Zygarde. That's pretty cool. Because a lot of people think Zygarde is literally just Cell. Because he kind of is. Zygarde is kind of just Cell from Dragon Ball. But yeah, I'm very hyped for that game. Sure, it's coming out after I turn 30. Do I really care? Absolutely fucking not. But, weird swearing when I'm talking about Pokemon. But here we are. But that's what I got for the show this week. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your week. And I will talk to you guys next time. Well then, peace.